Yesterday, we have talked about how concentration, when developed and pursued, leads to a pleasant abiding in the here and now. This is the first profit. Second profit is when and what is the development of concentration that, when developed and pursued, leads to the attainment of knowledge and vision. There is the case when a monk attends to the perception of light and is resolved on the perception of daytime at any hour of the day. Day for him is the same as night. Night is the same as day. By means of an awareness open and unhampered, he develops a brightened mind. This is the development of concentration that, when developed and pursued, leads to the attainment of knowledge and vision. What is this knowledge and vision? Knowledge and vision means divine eyes. So when a person, in order to achieve this divine eyes, you have to develop perception of light. When you develop perception of light, you get a brightened mind. The mind becomes very bright, radiant. And the purpose to get this brightened mind, there are two purposes. If you have a brightened mind, then you will not face the hindrance of drowsiness. Venerable Moggallana, the left-hand disciple of the Buddha, who is foremost in psychic power, when he first attained stream enterer, then he want to continue to practice to achieve arhanship. Therefore, he strive very hard in order to achieve arhanship without sleep. At night, he didn't sleep at all. He do walking meditation, and walking, sitting. And because of strenuous effort without sleeping, then he become very drowsy because body gets so tired. And he became very drowsy. At that time, Buddha using his psychic power appear in front of him and ask him, Moggallana, develop perception of light. If you develop perception of light, you can remove your drowsiness. This is the first one Buddha taught him, to develop perception of light. And later on, Buddha also gave him many ways to tackle the drowsiness. Therefore, perception of light gives you a brightened mind that can remove the darkness of the mind. This is the first benefit. The second benefit, if you develop perception of light, you can develop divine eyes. What is this divine eyes? Divine eyes is a type of knowledge that can see the passing away and reappearance of beings in different realms of existence. In order to develop this divine eyes, you have to practice kasina. Kasina means disc. There are three kasina that can give you a brightened mind. Number one is fire kasina. You look at the fire. Fire is very bright, right? You look at the fire, 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 again and again. Then you close your eye. The fire, the image of fire will appear in front of you. This is called fire kasina. Second is light kasina. You look at the light. Look at the light, one of the light. Then you contemplate light. Take the image of the light. Light, 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 light. Then you close your eye. The light will appear in your mental image. And it will become very bright. The third one is white kasina. If you want to try white kasina, tomorrow we can go outside and take the snow. See, look at the snow, then take the image of white. White, you stand there and take the snow, white, white. But snow must be flat, huh? Flat one. Then white, white, white. Then you close your eye. The white will appear. But very soon it disappears if your concentration is weak. But if your concentration is strong, you take the snow, white, 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 then you close your eye, the white will remain there for a period of time. Then you can come back and sit, white, white, white. Then you extend the white into 10 directions. Extend the white, white. Then everywhere will become white. After that, you stay focused on one point of white and stay there for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. Then you attain first jhana by using white kasina. And from there, you can enter into second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, using white kasina. Then after that, you can develop this divine eyes, knowledge of knowledge and vision. So this person, when he first he enter into fourth jhana, then he emerge. Then stay at the excess concentration, at a stage of excess concentration. Then he extend his light to whatever place he want to see. Let's say, he say that, okay, here, 10 miles away from here. May there be light. He make a determination, resolve. May there, 10 miles away from here, may there be light. And that place will become very bright. Then he can see many things invisible to the ordinary eyes. If you want to see more far than 10 miles, maybe 100 miles, then he extend his knowledge and make a determination, may there be light. And that place will become very brilliant. Therefore, he can see what his ordinary eye cannot see. Similarly, he want to see the heavenly beings. So he extend his light upward. Then he can see heavenly beings. And if he want to see hell beings, he extends his light downward. Then he can see hell beings. So sometimes when he extend his light to different places, then some of the invisible beings will appear. For example, the hungry ghost, the ogre will appear. Then he get very frightened, never seen before. So this is one of the shortfall. You can see many things you never see before. Our ordinary eye only can see very short, but divine eye can go through the wall, go through the mountain, can see beings in the heaven and in the hell. Therefore, it's called divine eyes, not ordinary eyes. And this is a type of knowledge called knowledge of passing away and reappearance of beings according with their deeds. So when he see hell being, let's say, when he extends his light to the hell, then he sees hell beings. Then he inquire into the cause for those beings, why they reborn in the hell. The moment he inquired into the cause, why they are reborn, why they were reborn in the hell, and the answer will appear in his insight. Oh, they know, oh, this person was reborn in hell because of adapting the wrong view. The wrong view of, not belief in the karma, or the wrong view of non-existent after death, annihilation view. Or then he see another person in hell, then he require into the cause, then he find, oh, this person was reborn in hell because of killing, because of stealing, because of sensual misconduct, because of telling lies and so on. And when he extends his light to the heavenly beings, he see heavenly beings reappear there, then he inquire into the cause, why they are reborn there. Then the answer will appear in his insight. Oh, because they practice morality, because they practice concentration, because they respect the parents, because they do all the good deeds and so on. So, when a person see by themselves, being passes away and reborn according to their own deeds, good deeds or bad deeds, then he develop unshakable faith in the working of the karma. Now, some of the Buddhists still not believe rebirth, because they say, I do not see. How can I believe? How can you see? Your mind is so ordinary. How can you see? In order to see people in heavenly beings, you got to develop divine eyes. So what you cannot see does not mean it does not exist. If you say that I cannot see, therefore it does not exist, this is called closed mind. Closed mind. How much knowledge you have to say it does not exist? Because you cannot see? So keep the mind open. Huh? If you want to see, you develop concentration. Concentration, Buddha say, concentration see things as they really are. When you develop concentration, you even can fly in the sky without air ticket. So, concentration is very powerful. It's beyond your comprehension. So what you cannot see, keep the mind open. It could be, it could not be. I do not know. Only when I reach that state, then I know. Keep the mind open is always good for you. Okay? So, this is called knowledge and vision. Divine eyes. Even though we do not develop a kasina, fire kasina, white kasina, or light kasina, when you have concentration, your mind also become very bright. I think some of you may experience at night when they turn off the light, but you still feel very bright. This is called brightened mind. This is the product of concentration. If you do not feel now, after few days, you will experience it. Now you lie on the bed, every light turned off already, but you still feel very bright. This is called the product of concentration, a brightened mind. So even the little concentration you have, you can see everything so bright. Not to speak, when you practice white kasina, light kasina, fire kasina, and attain for jhana. The whole world is so brilliant. Therefore, you can see many invisible things. Just like you go into the forest, in the darkness of the forest, you cannot see anything because of the darkness. But if you bring the torchlight, you can see many things. Similarly, when you develop this divine eyes, you can see many things in the darkness, just like having that torchlight. Okay. The next one, this is the second profit by developing concentration. The third profit is, and what is the development of concentration that, when developed and pursued, leads to mindfulness and alertness. Mindfulness and alertness in Pali called sati sampajanya. Alertness here means wisdom. Sampajanya means wisdom. Some scholar translate mindfulness and clear comprehension. That is the case where feelings are known to the monk as they arise, known as they persist, known as they subside. Perception are known to him as they arise, known as they persist, known as they subside. Thoughts are known to him as they arise, known as they persist, known as they subside. This is the development of concentration that, when developed and pursued, leads to mindfulness and clear comprehension. What's the meaning of clear comprehension? Sampajanya, Pali. The listening of things rightly, entirely, and equally is called clear comprehension. Sati sampajanya. Sati is always, in order to have clear comprehension, you must have sati first. Therefore, these two group together. There are four types of sati sampajanya. Number one is called sattaka sampajanya. Sattaka means the clear comprehension of purpose. What's the clear comprehension of purpose? Let's say you want to, during the retreat, you want to talk. You want to talk to somebody. Before you talk, you investigate what is the purpose of talking. If you just simply talk, then you don't have this clear comprehension of purpose. You talk because you just want to talk, without purpose. So you don't have clear comprehension of purpose. So in the retreat, it's very important to have this clear comprehension of purpose. Know what you want to do that action. Know the purpose. Okay. Number two is clear comprehension of what is suitable. We call sappaya sampajanya. The clear comprehension of what is suitable. For example, in a retreat, as you are instructed to be mindful all the time, and somebody spend their time reading the book, then you got to ask yourself, is it suitable to read the book during the retreat or not? Because when you read the book, your mind starts to think. Think, it causes restlessness. So when you read the book during the retreat, then you don't have this clear comprehension of what is suitable. Similarly, during the retreat, if you talk, then you don't have this clear comprehension of suitable, because it's not suitable to talk. When you talk, you affect other people and you break your own concentration. Other people also get very agitated by you. Okay, the third comprehension is the clear comprehension of resort. Gochara Sampajanya. Gochara Sampajanya. This clear comprehension of resort refer usually is applicable to the monks, but it's also applicable in the retreat. Bhikkhu. What's the meaning of bhikkhu? Bhikkhu doesn't mean monk only. In the retreat, those yogis who are practicing the Dhamma sincerely, respectfully, they are also called bhikkhu. So in this retreat, all of you are bhikkhu, bhikkhuni, for 10 days only. For 10 days, your class, you have this class called bhikkhu or bhikkhuni. So if you become bhikkhu and bhikkhuni for 10 days, for this 9 days, then you got to practice this gochara sampajanya, clear comprehension of resort. What does it mean? During Buddha's time, most monks, bhikkhus, they went outside for pindapata, baking the food. So usually they go in a group. Now they queue up and follow, some go in the group, some go individually. And before they start going, leave the monastery, they have to keep the object of their meditation. Not necessary anapana, because Buddha's time they practice different methods. Some practice four elements, some practice kasina, some practice metta, some practice 32 paths. So whatever object, they have one basic meditation. They say anapana is a basic meditation. Sometimes you also practice other methods, because other methods overcome different methods overcome different types of defilements. So everybody keeping their mind on their object, on their meditation subject. Then they start go pindapata. Never forget their meditation subject. This is called gochara sampajanya, clear comprehension of resort. So from the very beginning up to they come back from pindapata, they never forget their meditation subject. Just like you, from the very beginning, waking up until you fall asleep, you never forget your meditation subject. This is called gochara sampajanya, clear comprehension of resort. And some of the monks, when they go pindapata, because they are very mindful of their meditation subject, they understand once they are not mindful, the mind will be beset by defilements. Especially when you go from the monastery to the town. In the town, there are so many beautiful women. There are so many sensual objects. So if you are not mindful, the very moment of eye contact, the mind will be beset by a lot of lust, sensual lust. So they have to be very, very mindful. So when they start to walk, if the defilements, if they lost their mindfulness and defilement arise in the mind, and the first person will stop walking, and the following monk know the first one, his mind has been beset by defilements. And since the first monk cannot move, the following monk also cannot move. So they also have to stop. They also stop. Then the first monk also feel very embarrassed. You know, everybody know his mind is beset by defilement. So they put effort, remove that defilement, then start to walk again. After a few steps, another defilement comes, stop again. Then the following monk also know, his mind is beset by defilements again. So because of that, After some time, this monk will become very sinful of himself because he stopped affect the following monk. Then where can you get a food if you stop all the time like that? After 1 p.m. or so, you cannot get a food. So he got to raise his effort, exert his effort to be mindful on his meditation subject so that defilement cannot enter into his mind. This is how the monk practiced so diligently. So I think maybe tomorrow onward we queue up and do walking meditation. We do walking meditation in group. And the first person, if his mind is disturbed by defilement, everybody knows. Okay. So this is called Go Chara Sampajanya. Keep your meditation subject at all times. This takes a lot of effort. Without effort, you cannot do it. Okay. Therefore, Buddha said effort is the base for achievement. The last one is called Asammoha Sampajanya. Asammoha Sampajanya means clear comprehension of non-delusion. This is vipassana practice. So when you practice, let's say, anapanasati, how can you apply gochara, asammoha sampajanya? You investigate first. What is this breath? What is the breath? Tell me, what is the breath? Wind element. Not only wind element, four elements are always exist together. Wind element in excess, or wind element as predominant factor. So breath is matter. Matter is composed by four elements, and breath has wind element as predominant factor. Four elements are always together. So you investigate, what is this breath? Then you get a conclusion, wind element in excess. Then who aware of the breath? As I have told you this morning, who aware of the breath? Then you investigate, oh, mindfulness aware of the breath. And mindfulness is not I, not mine, not myself. Investigate in this way is called Asammoha Sampajanya, clear comprehension of non-delusion. So you investigate few mental factors, attention, effort, mindfulness, feeling, perception, consciousness. Who knows the breath? Consciousness knows the breath. Consciousness is not a self, not mind. Then you understand non-self nature of all the mental factors. Then you investigate again why the breath comes, why breath arises, because of having body. So breath is dependent on the body. Then, and because of the breath, then the mind arises. Knowing the breath. Without breath, the mental factors, the mind, consciousness cannot arise knowing the breath. Therefore, breath is cause, mind is effect. Then you further investigate cause and effect, cause and effect. Breath is cause, arising of consciousness and mental factor to know the breath is effect. So only cause-effect relationship. If you don't investigate in this way, you always tell yourself, I am breathing, I am breathing. Your I, self, is always there. Concentration practice cannot eradicate self, only vipassana. So by this clear comprehension of non-delusion, you understand cause and effect. Then you further investigate. All these mental factors are impermanent. Mindfulness is also impermanent. Effort is also impermanent. Consciousness is also impermanent. They arise and pass away, arise and pass away. Even your breath. The breath in, when you breathe in, it finished already. And the breath out is not a breath in. It's a two different thing. Then when you breathe out, you breathe in again. This breathing again is not the same as the first one, right? So they are also impermanent. First breathe in, pass away. Then breathe out, pass away. Then second breathe in, pass away. Then breathe out, pass away. They are also impermanent. So you investigate in this way. Then you know breath is also impermanent. The observing mental factors and consciousness are also impermanent. And they are also non-self. If you can understand clearly what's mindfulness, then you understand its non-self nature. So you can see impermanent suffering and suffering is a bit difficult to observe in this case. You can see the impermanent and non-self nature of matter and the mind, both. This is called clear comprehension of non-delusion. I will explain further after the 6 or 7 days. Okay. And here in the text, Buddha said, there is the case where feelings are known to the monk as they arise, known as they persist, known as they subside. So when feelings are known to the monk as they arise, this is mindfulness. Mindfulness knows feeling has arisen in you. Without mindfulness, you do not know feeling has arisen in you. Let's say, without mindfulness, you do not know feeling has arisen in you. What is the consequences? This is a pleasant feeling has arisen in you, and you are not mindful of it. You do not aware of it. What is the consequences? Craving, yes. One consequence is craving, because according to dependent origination, Buddha said, dependent on feeling, craving arises. When craving arises and you do not aware of the craving, no mindfulness. Only when you have mindfulness first, after having mindfulness, then you can apply clear comprehension. Without mindfulness, how can you apply clear comprehension? Clear comprehension means knowledge or wisdom. Wisdom knows feeling is impermanent. But before you can know feeling is impermanent, you must know feeling has arisen first. Right? So if you don't understand, if you do not aware, mindfulness, I shouldn't say you, mindfulness does not aware that feeling has arisen, then craving will follow after feeling. And mindfulness also does not aware craving has arisen, then what will happen? Clinging or grasping. You want to grasping something. And you don't even aware after grasping. Even you aware, that grasping has gained the momentum already. You cannot keep up already. You cannot keep the grasping up already because it gained the strength already. Then what will happen? What will happen to you? Suffering. Most people will act. Because craving, clinging, you want to act or you want to speak something, you act in order to satiate this craving or clinging. And this action is called karma in Buddha's teaching. It's called karma. Of course, it's unwholesome karma because based on craving and clinging. Therefore, karma is perfect. And you must understand the working of karma. Whatever karma is performed, they say you act something, then you satiate your craving, you satisfy. And karma, that karma is gone. However, it leaves behind karmic energy. And this energy cannot be seen by you. And this energy also usually does not work immediate result. It needs a little bit time for the result to happen. Before somebody say, the result may not happen, why should I care? So when the karma is performed, it leaves behind karmic energy, and this karmic energy, if it's a strong karma, this karmic energy will produce new rebirth. Therefore, Buddha say, dependent on clinging, becoming. Becoming means karma process becoming. And the energy ripen, then dependent on becoming birth, new rebirth. So in this case, maybe reborn in one of the four woeful states. And when there's birth, aging follows. Sickness, death, lamentation, pain, grief, despair, thus arise the whole mess of suffering. Because you do not aware of your feeling. One moment of unawareness creates so much problem. One moment of unawareness rotates the cycle of dependent origination. Therefore, finally, after concentration, we have to go back to mindfulness and clear comprehension. I never teach on pure concentration. I always, the last 2 days, I want you to practice vipassana. Because vipassana is the real practice of the Buddha, of Buddha's teaching. But before you can see impermanence, suffering and non-self of all phenomena, you must develop concentration first. Because Buddha said, with concentration you can see clearly what's happening in your mind. Without concentration, you don't even know feeling has arisen. Right? With concentration, your mind becomes extremely sharp, alert. So every thought arises, you know. The moment you know, it passes away. Therefore, clinging cannot arise, craving cannot arise. When there's no craving, no clinging, then no becoming, no birth, no death, no aging sickness, no lamentation. Okay. So when a person does not aware of feeling, mindfulness is so blunt. So craving follow after feeling. This is one consequence. There's another second consequence. What is there? Remind me to stop my talk. What is the I will finish quickly, okay? What is the consequences? One is craving, another consequences, you got to know it. If you do not aware of feeling has arisen, then immediately you will identify feeling as myself. To your own experience. Do you agree with me? I feel good. Immediately you identify feeling as I feel good. I feel bad. I feel restless. I feel good concentration. Everything you identify, all this feeling as I, mine, myself. And you are beset by the refinements of identity view. So one moment of unawareness of feeling has arisen, you will be set by identity view, you will be set by craving. So if in our life we live without mindfulness, and we keep on accumulating identity view, keep on accumulating craving, Then may I ask you, when is the end of suffering? When is the end of suffering? No end. No end to it. Because I keep on acting, keep on accumulating new identity, the view of identity, and you keep on accumulating craving, clinging. You keep on rotate the cycle of dependent origination. Therefore, practice concentration, practice mindfulness and clear comprehension is very important. And Buddha said this only after one has attained concentration. In this sutta, Buddha says us, develop concentration until first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Then third, you develop divine eye. And at the second, you using this concentration, you can develop divine eye. And third, using this concentration, you can develop mindfulness and clear comprehension. Nowadays, many people practice pure mindfulness without concentration. Just I practice before when I was 20 something. I start with mindfulness first without concentration. And as I share with you, my mind gets so tired and exhausted. Therefore, I move from one monastery to another in order to learn concentration. So in order to have sharp, precise mindfulness and clear comprehension, develop concentration first. This is what Buddha said in this sutta. Okay, I continue tomorrow. Thank you for your reminder.
Please come for interview.